You're with Cape Talk.
This is John Matham on Afternoon Drive.
As the Russian war against Ukraine drags on, it gets less and less attention. I mean, that's the nature of news. It's about novelty, and that was once novel, and now it's the same daily grind. So there's not a lot of, I mean, obviously in Ukraine and places close by, there's still an enormous amount of reporting. But here in South Africa, we move on to other things. But there is still a continuing kind of article of faith amongst people who opine on the internet, in print, and so on, about this, who are not inclined to join in outright condemnation of Russia. Some of them say it is wrong to invade a sovereign country, and all of them say, but there was cause. And Russia had a right to feel aggrieved because NATO promised Russia after the fall of the Berlin Wall that they would not expand eastwards, and they've broken that promise because they expanded into Poland and Czech Republic, and now Ukraine was going to become perhaps the next member of NATO, and that would have Western military forces, you know, lining up on a border with Russia, and they were worried, and so they preemptively attacked. So was there, I mean, this is the question, was there a commitment by NATO, by the West, that they would not expand eastwards into what used to be Eastern Europe, Cold War period? The answer is either yes or no, or maybe, but it is complicated. Gavin Hall joins us now, a teaching fellow in political science and international security at the University of Strathclyde, with us via Zoom. Gavin, good afternoon. Is there an easy answer to that question, yes or no?
Good afternoon, Jonathan. The short answer is that there isn't an easy answer to this particular question, because it is a lot more complicated than on the face of it, at least in terms of people's understanding of the issue. However, when you start to dig beneath the surface a little bit and look at what actually constitute a promise in terms of international law and the general means of international relations, then I think the answer does become a little bit clearer. And that would essentially be that there was no promise regarding expanding eastwards. A substantive amount of the confusion that arises is what occurred going alongside the end of the Cold War was the reunification of Germany. And a significant number of the statements relating to potential promises not to expand eastward relate to forces in West Germany being stationed in East Germany. And these have widely been misconstrued and presented by Russia today as being promises for NATO as a whole not to expand eastward more generally.
It's the people who offer this theory when they're opining on events in that part of the world here in South Africa is that James Baker, who was Secretary of State under George H. Bush at the time, did make this promise, and that Germany's, I think he was the foreign minister at the time, Hans-Dietrich Genscher, also said to the Russians, don't worry, we're not going to expand eastwards.
Yes, and also at the same time, the then Secretary of General of NATO, Manfred Warner, said that they will not deploy NATO troops beyond the territory of the Federal Republic, and that gives the Soviet Union a firm security guarantee, which is a direct quote from his speech of July 1990. And in much the same way that Secretary of State Baker said, not one inch eastwards and Genscher and things, the wider context outside of these specific sentence quotes is they are talking about East Germany specifically and the settlement relating to the reunification of Germany, which agreed that troops wouldn't be placed into East Germany, agreed that nuclear weapons wouldn't be placed into East Germany, as it then was. And this was all codified in the formal agreement between NATO and the Soviet Union, which was the treaty for the final settlement in respect to Germany. if you look at statements that Mikhail Gorbachev has come out with and said to mark the 25th anniversary, he is clear that both Baker's statements and Warner's statements are made solely within this context of German reunification and don't relate to the wider Eastern European sphere.
Then, to try and sum up crudely, there were certain verbal commitments made by people doing negotiation at the time, but those were not sanctioned by the negotiating powers and were never codified into an agreement.
That is definitely true. But before even these verbal agreements, the not one inch eastwards, they're codified in the treaty for the final settlement with respect to Germany. And that's where these quotations and things emanate from and originate from. Just to give you a parallel example to that, is also part of Ukraine giving up its nuclear weapons in 94 and 95. There was a formal agreement signed between Russia and also NATO and the United States, guaranteeing Ukraine's territorial sovereignty as sort of a way of helping to persuade them to give up their nuclear weapons. If you compare that to, say, South Africa, when you decided to relinquish your nuclear weapons in the late 70s, early 80s, that was a purely unilateral move and to become part of the sort of the non-aligned movement. So there's a difference between these two scenarios in there. And it's very much within the respect of Ukraine and having a formal agreement, the formal agreements relating to the breakup of the Soviet Union and the reunification of Germany are just that. They relate to that one specific incident. And any subsequent expansion that NATO made and took on is just that and not covered by this formal treaty. And even verbal assurances were only relating to the German reunification process, which, as Gorbachev himself comes out with and says on the 25th anniversary of the collapse of the Soviet Union, he says the topic of NATO expansion wasn't discussed at all. It wasn't brought up. No Eastern European country raised the issue, and Western leaders didn't bring it up either, because no one was expecting it to be something that would come to pass.
Okay, thank you very, very much indeed. Gavin Hall, a teaching fellow in political science and international security at the University of Strathclyde.